Good to see everyone on this Resurrection Sunday. And I want to express gratitude to each of you for making this priority in your day. And I also want to express how grateful I am to each and every one of you who faithfully come and worship and share together here and are part of the ministry of this church and have been for many years. Special welcome to all our guests today. Family and friends who have come for baptism from near and far, and we're grateful that they could be here to witness this special day for Isabella. I want to remind everyone that we have a few sign-up sheets, and so make sure you check those on the back table before you leave today, some events. I'm not going to get into all those, but also to remind you that we are receiving a special Easter offering today. We have plates here in the front, one in the back. We don't pass them anymore, so just as you feel led, you can give prayerfully and considerately and generously as the Lord leads you. This morning's scripture comes to us from the Gospel according to Matthew, and it'll be chapter 28, and I'll be reading verses 1 through 10. I believe it's up here on the screen. You can follow along in your Bible phone apps or Bible of your own if you would like. If you don't have one with you and want to use an actual book, you can grab one there in front of you. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. After the Sabbath, at the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were as white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell the disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There you will see me." May God add blessing to this, the reading of his holy word. The angel said, "He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia." The story of Jesus does not end in death. Amen? The story of Jesus, who came as a baby, born in Bethlehem, who grew in wisdom and stature, was dedicated in the temple, taught in the temple, was baptized, and then went out into public ministry for 3 years. That story does not end on Good Friday. That story does not end in death. Rather, that story is a new chapter and begins a new chapter with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And now the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is back in business. He's back with it again. He is here for us today. And he appeared to his followers for some 40 days following this Resurrection Sunday and was here on earth for that 40-day period. And while he was here, he talked about the kingdom of God. And he had worked to establish that kingdom while he was in public ministry. Just listen to what the book of Acts, which is a remembrance of the early church says about the resurrection of Jesus. In Acts chapter 1, verse 3, after his suffering, that is his death upon the cross, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive, and he spoke to them about the kingdom of God. He gave proof that he was alive. He proved to them, all the naysayers, all the doubters, all the skeptics, all the cynics, he proved to them while he was here for those 40 days that he, in fact, was alive. Now the disciples, as he confronted them as the risen Lord, had to overcome also their unbelief, their disbelief. Yes, the disciples, the ones who were the closest followers of Jesus Christ, the ones that had been with him in this ministry for 3 years, the ones that he called to follow him, these disciples were in disbelief when the women came and told them that Jesus had risen from the dead. They had to figure it out for themselves. But when they were able to overcome their unbelief, they became a brand new community of believers. They were now certain of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They realized that because of the power of the resurrection, that God had vindicated Jesus' death. And they were absolutely convinced that he was alive and that he was present with them. One theologian writes these words about early Christian communities and their faith. Listen. Wherever there were early Christian witnesses and communities, and however varied their message and their theology were, they were all united in believing and acknowledging the risen Lord. I know, as we look across this congregation, that we all come from different backgrounds, different denominations, but God beckoned you here today for some reason. Regardless of your denominational affiliation, you are believers in Jesus Christ, and you thought it was important to be here today to acknowledge that and to celebrate that. So therefore, we are united as one, as believers in Jesus Christ. We are acknowledging that the resurrection of Jesus Christ actually happened. But let me share with you what I think would not be taking place if it were not for the resurrection of Jesus. There would be no gospel, because that is the good news, that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Everything is based upon it. There would be not a single account in any of the gospels, of which one I read from this morning. There would not be any worship services, nor any prayers in Christendom. There would be no New Testament, no faith, no church, if it were not for the resurrection, if it were not for Easter Sunday. That's how important this day is to our faith. Listen, Christmas, we love it, we celebrate it, it's amazing, it's wonderful. But without Easter, Christmas is just another day. It doesn't mean anything if Jesus didn't defeat death in the grave. That's how important this day is. It is the ultimate in our faith, and it's imperative that we believe it. In the resurrection, his death became meaningful when he had victory over death in the grave. That's how it became significant. If he had just died on the cross like many other common thieves had done, like the thieves that were on either side of him that day on the hill of Golgotha and Calvary, he would just be another person that died on a cross at the hands of the Romans. But he wasn't. He was raised to life, and he was not confined to that cross. He came down from that cross. And he witnessed the power of the resurrection. Now, understand this. No one, not a single person, and even in all of Scripture, no one witnessed the actual process of resurrection. Nobody was present to see what happened. All we have are accounts. We know that before the women got to the tomb that morning early, that an earthquake happened. You ever experience an earthquake? Any of you? Let's just see some hands. Anybody? All right. How many of you have experienced an earthquake here in Illinois? I have. Yeah, there's that many of those same hands. It's kind of an unusual spot, but we do. I remember one morning waking up to the house shaking, not here, but where I grew up, and I didn't know what was happening. A violent earthquake took place on Easter Sunday morning, and it struck terror into the guards, and it says that they shook with fear. They shook with fear. We have various persons in Scripture that have given us account of what happened on that day. The story is told by them. It's told by them in great awe and with reticence. They were convinced that something awesome and stupendous had occurred. Let's consider this morning from our scripture, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, what happened. So early in the morning on the first day of the week, which was Sunday. It was early on that first day. Why did they come then? Because it was permissible. It was permissible for them to work because they honored the Sabbath and they kept it holy. And if you've ever been to the Holy Land, you know that they hold fast to this command. And so you understand that they kept that time holy, and so they didn't do anything. But they went to the tomb early in the morning, and they discovered the news that would soon permeate the entire world, that Jesus is risen. All of the gospel writers, all of them agree, on the exciting news and when it happened, each and every one of them. And the amazement that the followers of Jesus confronted as part of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, there were several women that were involved. They're not all mentioned in this morning's text, but they are mentioned elsewhere throughout Scripture. There are people mentioned in the Scripture, such as Mary Magdalene. She is among the most prominent of women that are at the tomb that morning. There are also a Joanna. There's the other Mary. Wouldn't you like to be known as the other Mary in Scripture? This is one of those things, you know, the other Mary, some say, is Mary, the wife of Clopas, but she is, in fact, another Mary. And some think that there was still another Mary there that was a very common name in the time. And so those Marys were present. There was also the mother of James, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome were also mentioned in other accounts of this Scripture. These women were close followers. In fact, some would even say that they were disciples in the truest sense of the word in following Jesus Christ. They believed in him. They funded his ministry. They were supportive. They prayed with him. They listened to him and sat at his feet, which is something common that was done by a disciple. Now, Matthew doesn't say why they went to the tomb, but we need to look at another gospel, and we find in Matthew, both Matthew and Luke, they went to the tomb because they needed to anoint the body of Jesus. That's why they went, because they didn't get a chance to do that. It was very much in haste. Jesus was crucified maybe a little before noon, around noon. He died rather quickly, by about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and they had until just about 6 o'clock, right at the sunset time, to get him buried, because they didn't want to desecrate the land, as it says in Deuteronomy. And so you didn't leave your dead hanging on a cross. You didn't leave your dead out unless you were cruel like the Romans and said that they would be for food for animals. But Joseph of Arimathea came, and he wanted to take Jesus' body down, and so that's what they did, but they had to do it quickly. And it says that Joseph of Arimathea requested the body, he wrapped it in clean linens, and they took it, and he placed it in the tomb. They didn't have time By the time Jesus' body was removed from the cross and placed in the tomb, it must have been sunset. No more work can be done, not even embalming by their standards of the day of Jesus' body. And so early that next morning, these women went back to the tomb. Not on Saturday. It was a silent Saturday. As some of you know, you listen about what happens on Saturday. It's silent. We don't hear from Jesus. We heard from God on Good Friday when the curtain of the temple was ripped in two. We heard from Jesus on the cross. But Saturday, Jesus lay in the tomb, silent. Yet Sunday morning, we'll hear, yes, this morning, we hear from God again. We hear from the angels. We hear from Jesus again on this day. But Saturday was a day that was silent. But it was now Sunday morning. And having witnessed the burial of Jesus Christ, these women, as they progressed to the tomb, began to ask themselves this question: what are we going to do about that stone? What are we going to do about moving that rock to gain access to the tomb? If you look at Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, verse 3, the question is, who will roll back the stone from the tomb for us? They needed access. They needed to be able to get in to the tomb so that they could carry out the embalming of Jesus, placing upon him the perfumes, the spices, the things that would preserve his body as much as possible during that time before it began the long journey into decomposition. Matthew tells us about the miraculous things that happened, how the earth shook, how an angel appeared to the women and sat upon the stone. Their question was answered when they arrived there, and the stone had already been moved. And it says that those guards, you know, the ones that were guarding the dead prisoner, so to speak, they, in fact, became like dead men themselves. They were shook to the very core by this angel of the Lord. Notice it doesn't say that the angel of the Lord said to the guards, "Do not be afraid." You might be thinking, and I kind of think this way, like the angel appearing before those guards and saying, "I'm going to scare you guys big time. I'm here to tell you what's happening here. There is no tomb in the world that can hold Jesus Christ. There is no tomb." It has been said that the stone was not removed to let Jesus out, but to let the women in. The women needed to get in. And Jesus knew this. God knew this. And so the angel and the earthquake rolled this back by the power of God, the angel that had been sent. Matthew, in his gospel, fittingly puts all these women together in this spot, this place, because many of them, if you reflect back to Good Friday, were also there on the day that Jesus was crucified. They were around the cross that day. They witnessed his crucifixion. Many, if not all of them, were also there, and they took the body of Jesus along with Joseph of Arimathea, and they placed it in the tomb. They were there to see these events. And I think this is always significant, and I said it at the sunrise service this morning, and it bears repeating here. The greatest message of all, and yes, we can reflect on Christmas, but without Easter, we must realize that Jesus gave the greatest message of all of Scripture to a woman, to one of his followers, Mary Magdalene. She was there. And Jesus told her, he commissioned her to go and tell the disciples what had happened, what they had seen and what they had heard. Remember now that women at this time, and I'm sorry, ladies, but this is the way it was, at that time were second-class citizens. They were not equal to men. And still in our country and in this world today, we still have a long way to go, some countries more than others. But this is the case in the biblical context, understanding that women were second-class citizens, but it was Jesus who first appeared to Mary Magdalene and then all of these other women that were surrounded the cross and then came to the tomb that morning. And now the angel of the Lord says, to the women. Like so many angelic appearances in all throughout Scripture, do not be afraid. I say this all the time. You're probably sick of me hearing me say it. I would, if an angel appeared for me before me, I would probably faint. I'd pass out, maybe even die. In awe of what happened, you know, the appearance of an angelic figure. It says that they were as white as snow, that their clothing was like, their face was like lightning, their countenance, their face, it was like lightning. Imagine that, a face like a lightning bolt. These women were there, and the angel says, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen from the dead, as he said he would." And then he motions the women, "Come over here and see where he lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead." I find it important to say this, that if you look at Scripture elsewhere, it says that the clothing of Jesus was neatly folded. Neatly folded and laid out on the slab where Jesus' body was. Either Jesus' mom really raised him well and had him fold his laundry when he was done with it, or that angel took care of that on that day. There's a reason that the Scripture says that, though, all kidding aside. It was important to show that the grave was not robbed. Those clothes were folded neatly and placed on that slab where Jesus lay so that it would not have the appearance that somebody quickly came in and came out and robbed Jesus' body. That's why it was like that. And so the angel of the Lord again now commissioned these women. He says, go and tell my disciples quickly that Jesus has risen from the dead. This is saying that this is the same Jesus that they knew, the same Jesus that hung on the cross, the same Jesus that they broke bread with, the same Jesus that they listened to and sat at his feet. That message was authenticated in that experience. The Scripture passage kind of ends suddenly. I love passages that end this way because it kind of leaves things open-ended. And the angel of the Lord simply says to them, after he tells them this, "Behold, I have told you." In other words, peace out. Later, dudes. I've done what I'm supposed to do. Now I'm leaving. I'm going back up to heaven. He's accomplished his mission, the angel. We don't hear any more about him. He must have left as the women were on their way running to tell the disciples the good news of what they had seen and heard. And what he's really saying is, "I've told you everything that I have to tell you, and now I'm going to depart." We learn in John's gospel from the disciple whom Jesus loved, who in fact is John, also the same John that wrote that gospel that is in our scripture, that Peter and then John himself, the author, ran to the tomb. They couldn't believe what they heard. And in fact, in this morning's scripture lesson that I read at the park, it was very clear that they thought what the women were telling them was a fairy tale. It was a tale. It was nonsense. They didn't believe it. Remember now, the closest followers of Christ hung out with Jesus himself for 3 years. They didn't quite understand what was going on. Matthew says that the women did depart quickly. They ran with fear and with joy. And as they departed, who should they meet but Jesus? And he says to them, "Greetings," or "joy to you." It was a greeting that was given in that time. And they told the disciples. And Jesus, as they encountered him, they came to him, they held on to him, and they worshiped him. This is why they sat at his feet. Even though he said, "joy to you" and greetings to you. They held on to his feet because that's what you did for a sovereign. That's what you did to a king. That's what you did to express that you were submitting to the will of Jesus Christ and to the risen Lord. Probably these women returned to the tomb and they were slowly leaving, and Mary Magdalene may have stayed back. And Jesus, as I've said, appeared first to her. I think Christ knows, I know he knows, that Mary Magdalene must have really needed to see Jesus that day for some reason. She needed to be the first one. And so she hung back while the other Marys, Joanna, Joseph, Mother Mary of Joseph, and etc., where they ran and told the disciples. And he appears to Mary Magdalene. It says that the disciples went back to their homes. What's up with that? All this is exciting, and then the disciples just went back to their homes. No doubt they were still fearful, mesmerized by what was taking place, what transpired that day. But Mary Magdalene became the first woman to see Jesus. Here's what it says in John chapter 20. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary Magdalene stood outside the tomb crying. This is not just like tears crying. This is wailing crying. Have you ever been to a funeral where people have wailed? In the Old Testament and New Testament times, people were actually paid to show up at prominent people's funerals and wail for the loss of them, for the passing of them. I want to pay people to show up and be happy at my funeral. I don't want to pay them, really. Well, it won't come out of my pocket because I won't be here. Wouldn't it be great have people show up and be happy? And it says here, they have taken my Lord away, she says to the person that she meets, and that's Jesus. And he says, I don't know where they put him. And at this point, she turned around and she saw Jesus standing there. You know the rest of the story. And Jesus says to her, Mary. And the sound of his voice, even though she didn't recognize his physical appearance, she recognized his voice. His sheep know his voice. And he heard her say, Mary, and she bows down and she worships him and calls him Rabboni, or Rabbi, meaning my teacher. Well, you know, every year another Easter comes and goes, and I think, what can I preach about? What can I share? This is my fourth sermon this week. I'm going to collapse this afternoon somewhere. But I try to come up with something unique, something fresh. I don't know. I cannot tell you by any uncertain terms that I can prove to you the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I can't. I can't prove to you any more about that than I can that God exists. But yet this I can tell you, that this is a central belief of Christianity. This is central to our faith as Christ followers and disciples of Jesus Christ in this modern day. We stand before the one who was God incarnate, God with us. We stand before him today, you and I, in this time, in this place. And the fact that I can give you today is the fact that the first followers of Jesus Christ, they themselves couldn't quite understand it. They themselves couldn't quite figure it out. Remind you again, the closest followers of Jesus Christ, yet they believed when they came around, when Jesus appeared to them, when he talked about the kingdom, when he showed them his hands and his sides, whatever the experience was post-resurrection, they believed. And the early church, as it continued on sharing this good news of Jesus Christ, that he had risen from the dead, they too believed. They too continued to follow Jesus Christ. And this ragtag bunch of disciples, they were fugitives from the law in a sense, but they became messengers who weren't afraid of anything, including death. And many of them died in a cruel fashion. But they themselves continued to spread the gospel of the risen Christ throughout the world. It's why you and I are here today. The significance of the empty tomb to the whole event is not about an empty tomb or a body, without a body, but it is a bodily resurrection. It's one thing to say that Jesus rose from the dead, but it's quite another to say that they saw a body after he rose from the dead. It wasn't like he was a spirit or a ghost or anything like that. Listen to what it says in Luke chapter 24, verse 39. This is Jesus saying, he says, "Look at my hands," just like he did to Thomas. "Look at my feet. It is I myself." Jesus, "Touch me, see me. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." This is a bodily resurrection of Christ. As we learn about ourselves, one day when Jesus returns, the bodies of those who have died, those who have gone before, they will rise first. They will go up to heaven. And then all of the rest of us who are left here, who might still be alive at that time, will join them up in the clouds and we will all ascend to heaven one day. Amen. The bodily form. No, death does not have the final word. It may seem that way. It may seem that way for you right now as you mourn loved ones, as you contemplate your own mortality. But it does not have the last word. As the great hymn says, "Death could not hold its prey. Up from the grave he arose." This, my friends, is our faith. This, my dear Easter people, is who we are. And so, I wish each and every one of you a blessed Resurrection Sunday, a very happy and joyous Easter to all of you, your loved ones and your friends, all of this community, and all of those Christians living around the world. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. Would you please turn with me in your hymn books